The investment going on in Ballarat at the moment, it's quite astounding, and we're about to have $25 million dropped in the city, but it's on stuff you're not really going to see. It's on Ballarat's big sewer build. Let's have a chat about it, because it kicks off after Easter, but we want to find out about the innovation behind the project with the Managing Director of Central Highlands Water, Paul O'Donoghue, who joins me in the studio. G'day, Paul.
Morning, Brett.
Nice to see you.
Yeah, it's great to be here on, as you said, a nice sunny Ballarat morning.
It's a ripper. Thank you. It'll be perfect to be out there putting your autograph on massive pipes, which I did see a photo of you doing just recently.
Yeah, I won't sure. I don't think I'll be around in 100 years' time when they dig that one up, Brett.
But, Paul O'Donoghue, who was that guy who signed his pipe and why did he do it? Seriously, why were you out there with your chairman that day?
Look, this was a launch of this project, which is in the centre of Ballarat. So we were keen to continue to explain and expose the project and just tell people what was going on. And we've done a lot of pre-work around with traders and the general public just around making sure that there is going to be some disruption. But we're trying to minimise that and make sure that we listen to people and we act if there's issues present themselves. And trying to use, as you said, as your introduction, new technology, micro-tunnelling under the main streets, which will be Little Bridge, Mare Street, through that area, and making sure that there's minimal disruption, Brett.
We might get down to some of the tin tacks about where and when in just a moment. Central Highlands Water, you're an organisation that I guess deliberately flies under the radar a little bit. You know, we turn on our tap or we flush the loo and it works like magic. Happy days. I know you're great sponsors of the Begonia Festival.
Yep.
But is this quite new to actually put yourselves out there and say, hey, Ballarat, we're investing $25 million and we're going to leave you with a legacy project?
Yeah, I think it was interesting when we started to look at the history of this project back in the 1920s. It was a big project for the Federation of Australia, and it was written up as that. And, you know, Ballarat was booming at that stage after the gold rush and the things that were going on. And right now, as you said in your introduction, there's a lot of investment happening in Ballarat, and it's important that servicing authorities like ourselves are also investing, that we're taking our works forward at the same time to make sure that things happen. And as you said, we're a little bit unseen, but the reality is it's important that we're there.
My word it is. So you're talking about a future-proofing project, Paul. So if you didn't do this work right now, would we be in trouble?
Into the future we would. I think there's a recognition that Ballarat's certainly growing out to the west, and we're spending a lot of money and time and resources out there, but certainly Central Ballarat, you know, with the Gov Hub and the railway station and the Nightingale, you know, the four-storey development that's happening in town and more infill happening, we know that we've got to create greater capacity in our network to cater for that, and it's important, that, as I said earlier, that we stay in front of it.
Yeah, well, you're certainly doing that with a rather large investment in your time in the water biz. Is this about as big as it gets?
Probably. The other one that I worked on was the Superpipe, the Goldfield Superpipe.
Yeah, that's a reasonable project.
So that was sort of back 12 years ago, and you sort of lose sight of those investments, which is another, I think, is another legacy project for Ballarat, which will take that the edge off the issues around growth and development into the future. But certainly, this is a three-year plan to develop this project and deliver it. And, it's one of the bigger ones that we've done, absolutely, Brett.
Yeah. The super pipe, correct me if I'm wrong, but this, I know it does a number of things, but this makes sure Lake Wendouree will never ever, you won't be able to walk across it ever again.
Yeah, look, it was really a trade-off there. The potable water that the super pipe provides means that we can provide other water, and the city has put a lot of stormwater retention in and around the lake and also provided that water into the lake. We've also got Class A water coming from our Ballarat North wastewater treatment plant that's treated to a very high standard that's also going into the lake. So that was really, from what was a real issue, became a really good news story, I think, Brett.
Yeah, it's wonderful to, you know, walk around the lake on a stinker in February and have the lake brimming. It means so much to our community.
Absolutely.
This $25 million investment, Paul, is that good for jobs in the city?
Yeah, look, there's a lot of work going in and around the city, and we've got a lot of contracts in a lot of places, but certainly materials and road management and traffic management and all of those things come from the local community. Mm. So it's part of that investment, not just in the infrastructure that's in the ground, but also in jobs and future employment. And one of the things that we're very keen to do is to have minimal disruption to the traders and other people so that we can get in, get out, and they can get on with their lives too, Brett.
I'm speaking to Paul O'Donoghue this morning, the Managing Director of Central Highlands Water. Paul, normally if your organisation took a heap of car parks, which you've just done, I've noticed down in Peel Street, you'd probably be beaten up. But because we're kind of emerging from COVID and that that overflow car park hasn't really been taken up,
yep,
you know, that highly by Ballarat CBD workers. Is that where your main sort of central works depot is going to be?
Well, actually, the main part of the central works depot is near the Eastern Oval, just near Scott's Parade.
Yeah.
And
sort of next door to Hames Paint.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there, yep.
So they'll be there for, I think, about 3.5 months.
Okay.
But it's important to try and have minimal disruption, but stay as close to the work site as you can so that you're not, you know, trundling up and down roads and you haven't got your basic infrastructure too far away from what you're delivering.
Mm. Your approach to the works is quite interesting, and maybe you can't compare the two, but hey, I'm going to. Roadworks, you often get, you know, 10, 20 kilometre long stretches and they seem to take forever,
yep,
to finish, and everyone gets frustrated. You're doing the works in 10 to 30 metre lengths. Is that to minimise disruption?
Yeah, it is, and the important part there is we want to not be out the front of or in streets for a long period of time.
Yeah.
So the micro tunnelling is an interesting innovation on pipes that size, because that will take us under, as I said, the three main road intersections. But also we're making sure that we're keeping one lane open either way during the construction, but also moving the site in a sort of fairly mobile way, mm-hmm, as we keep moving along, and repairing that site out in front of the relevant traders and getting out of their space as quickly as we can. And I think the other really nice part is that we've worked with council over the last couple of years. They were always going to resheet and reappraise and reset Peel Street.
Mm.
They're going to do that after we finish. So what's been an ongoing potential problem, I would expect in 6 months' time, people will look at that whole site and go, wow, this looks terrific.
Yeah.
So
Peel Street is a bit dodgy in spots, so
yeah,
that's going to be great, and
yeah,
I guess spurred on by your project.
Yep.
So we know the team's setting up now, but the works commence proper after Easter on Tuesday the 6th. What can we expect and where?
Yeah, well, there's two points to that. One is we spoke to a lot of the traders and they felt that it was better after Easter.
Mm-hmm.
So we set the program accordingly. And school holidays, generally things are a bit quieter for 2 or 3 weeks there. So what you'll start to see is that they'll set up to do the micro tunnelling under Little Bridge Street, and that will be on both ends of Peel Street near Little Bridge Street. That'll be the first lot of works we do, and then we'll start to fix in and come back to the north, back towards that magnificent railway bridge there at Peel Street. So we'll be working in and around Little Bridge Street for a few days, and then you'll see works come back to the north, as I said, along Peel Street towards the bridge.
So I guess the message would be, yes, you can get through those areas, but if you can avoid them,
yeah,
probably be best to do so.
Yeah, and look, in this day and age, as you know, traffic management and signage is really important, and people will need to just keep their ears and eyes open around that. But if you can avoid that small area for a period of time, that would be appreciated.
Yep.
But as I said, we'll have at least one lane open either way over the journey.
Paul, just before we let you go today, the latest data from your organisation on our water storages. I tell you what, you must have a direct line to Mother Nature, do you? It's it's been pretty damn good recently. Let's start with Lel, our biggest reservoir, nearly 90% full, a couple of percentage points up on last year. That must please you?
Yeah, it does. And we, as you know, it's been a very mild summer, Brett, and we just seem to have had rainfall at the appropriate time.
Mm.
And summer, generally, most the increase in usage is in the outdoor areas, and I suspect that most people's gardens haven't required a lot of lot of watering this year. So there's been a real saving there. But I think one of the really nice things is since we come out of the drought with, you know, 5-star rated water saving appliances, and people just with a general better view of how they save water and conserve water, we've seen that stay, and I think it's a permanent change in how people operate and how they use water wisely. So we're very happy with that, and that's been a real plus as we've gone, you know, out of the drought into more normal times.
See, those days when you had to get that constant messaging out about using water wisely and only using a bucket to wash your car and that sort of stuff, thankfully they are an absolute thing of the past, touch wood, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And I think, you know, the thing that we appreciate and I think people now think about is that we do need water for the future as well. So, you know, we've got our 50-year plans organised and, you know, Ballarat is going to grow. There's no doubt about it. But we feel we're in a pretty strong position to be able to service that growth over the next 30 to 40 years.
Paul O'Donoghue from Central Highlands Water, thanks for your time.
Thanks very much, Brett.